Hey, all you pet stylists. You found the Groom Pod. Welcome to our virtual salon. My name is Susie, and I'm your host. I'm a mobile groomer from Seattle, Washington, and anyone who knows me will tell you I love to talk, especially about my job. One of my favorite people to talk to is my friend and mentor and star of the show from Tucson, Arizona, and groomblog.blogspot.com, Miss Barbara Bird.
Hello, groomers. Hi, Susie. What's up?
Hi, Barbara. Welcome to episode 129 of the Groom Pod, recorded on July 23rd, my grandparents' anniversary, 2017 in Snohomish, Washington, and Tucson, Arizona. This week, it's all about hearing damage, citronella oil, and generator care. So you can put your questions up and join us on Facebook at facebook.com/group/thegroompod. You can subscribe to the Groom Pod on Stitcher and on iTunes, on Google Play, or anywhere else that you can get podcasts. You can find all things Groom Pod related, including our Amazon banner and donation button at www.thegroompod.com. And keep sharing us with your buddies. Remember to support our sponsors. What's new this week? Brought to you by Barbara's Shopping Site. Shop for specialty grooming items at www.shop.beaver.biz. Shop with a groomer, it's good karma. Another week has gone by. What's new with you?
Well, I have a new member of the family.
Oh, my.
So, this is the little Yorkie that I took care of for a month while her mother had a pacemaker implanted and was in kind of fragile territory for a week, for a month. Well, God bless this woman. First, like 2 years ago, she had a massive stroke while at church.
Oh, wow.
Which was fortunate because they got her right to the hospital. So she did a pretty much a complete recovery, although it weakened her. And then she had this big production with her heart and had to get the pacemaker and a month of in-home care and all of that. And now she's got cancer and it's taken her out.
Oh, bummer.
She's going down fast. And, you know, fortunately, we had made the arrangements. We had made the agreement before when Callie stayed with me for a month. And then I groomed her about 3 weeks ago, 2 or 3 weeks ago. And we learned that Joan had cancer. She came in, but only just to tell us that, and
right.
And I got to say goodbye. Remember, I told you that, yep. I went out to the cart. Well, it wasn't a week later that they called and said Joan has to go into a hospice full care. Will you take Callie? And what happened was that they lined up a hospice where she could have had her dog.
Yeah,
but the dog. They were talking about it. The hospice worker who makes the assessment was in the home in the bedroom talking with Joan, and Callie came in and piddled right by the foot of the caseworker. So that was that.
Yeah, that's a quick answer. No.
So, you know, like, no, sorry. So, yeah. So it's very heartbreaking. And, but she's a tough little cookie, and she's worked her way into the family. She's kind of trying to be top dog, and we already have one little one that's top dog. So they've working things out. They got into a, Leah and Callie got into a serious fight about the vacuum cleaner. So, and it gave me a new perception of dogs and vacuum cleaners, because it's actually a trigger.
Yeah, it can be.
It triggers, and with Callie, it triggers her into a very aggressive state. Well, Leah thinks she owns the vacuum cleaner and no one else can kill the vacuum cleaner. And so Leah jumped on Callie, who was super agitated about the vacuum cleaner, and their energy just boiled over into this big mano-a-mano fight, and they're flipping each other down, and she's got the whole Maltese ear in her mouth, and then they turn, flip over, and Leah's on top, and oh, I mean, God, it was funny, but it was some serious shit. Serious.
The noises that happen when that's going on. Oh my goodness. That's exciting. But otherwise, she's fitting in.
Yeah, she's fitting in, and she's not trying to escape, and, you know, it's just another log of poop I have to clean up in the living room, you know, like.
Oh, great.
I know. I live in a kennel, you know, a furnished kennel. What can I say, you know?
Hey, that's my kind of place. I can get behind that. So I had a fantastic week. First of all, I groomed a doppelganger of a star, looked so much like this particular star that the first thing that came out of my mouth is the first thing that comes out of every single person who meets her. And it's, has anyone ever said you look like Jamie Lee Curtis? Because she is the spitting image of Jamie Lee Curtis. Circa Trading Places, spiky hair, Jamie Lee Curtis. This stunningly beautiful, probably 60-something, just barely retired maybe. Just lovely lady, gardener, with a really nervous Chinese crested mix. I drove 40 minutes. Actually, this is a client where I had driven all the way out to no man's land last week, and I was grooming with the door open, and she just stopped by and said, hi, do you do this? Wow, this is really neat. And I gave her my card and chatted with her for a minute, and she had already emailed me by the time I had gotten home.
Wow.
Yeah. So I thought, of course, I'll do this very shy dog. Well, the dog wasn't shy. The lady's a hairdresser. The dog was spectacular. She's on a regular monthly schedule now. And I just instantly, this lady's awesome. She is so cool. And then I had my next visit with the Brindle Australian Shepherd. They called it a Brindle Australian Shepherd, but I am 99% sure this is a Chow Mix, but a lovely dog, a Brindle Chow Mix. Just delightful. He's a little bit shy, but he ran right up to me, which made mom really, really happy. But they're moving in 5 appointments. I love this dog. This dog is so, has such a gentle, sweet spirit. Just this nice, you know, just wants to be loved and touched and petted, but not comfortable with loud noises. So that I put a happy hoodie on him, and he talks. He's a little bit of a talker, but, you know, nothing. She said, I didn't even hear him talk. I said, oh, he's talking. He just talks a little. He didn't talk loudly. She goes, this is amazing. Thank you so much. And I just adore. The lady's a little wacky because I have Figgy with me. And the lady went, oh, he's not going to like that. Okay, Figgy's like 7 pounds. And right. I tether her away from the trailer so that I can see her with the door, but in the shade. And but the tether, she could hop in the trailer. So he totally ignored her. He had no idea she was there. Could have cared less. Was enjoying his bath and his massage. And so I know the lady's a little wacky, but I really like the dog. The dog is just, and he's stunningly beautiful. And then that lady recommended a golden retriever, an older golden retriever who I set up the appointment for, who I thought lived in the same neighborhood, but actually lives in another neighborhood, closer to mine though. Yay. And, that dog, I pulled up to this house, and it's in the hills, in the equestrian hills. And it's a beautiful, probably 5,000 square foot house. But the first thing I noticed in their big circular driveway was a for sale sign. Crap. Yep. The lady had just had knee replacement. So she was walking on a walker just a week later. She was doing really well. I was pleased to see her. She was delightful. The dog was spectacular. I thought, you know, oh boy, I'm going to get out there and it's going to be a 100-pound golden retriever who won't stand up. Nope. The dog was height, weight, proportionate. And a redder golden retriever, and just really sweet, and had lots of undercoats. So it was very gratifying. You know, I got to blow it all over. I stood in a cotton candy machine with my mask on and hair flying everywhere. It was just fantastic. Really good, positive new client experiences. So I'm getting a little bit over the PTSD of the first few days of new clienting. But I'm also full. So I really can't answer my phone anymore. If I answer my phone, I'll say yes. So I need to cut it off. Enough. I need my days off. One has to be realistic. So there was a question on Facebook, though, I thought would be kind of fun to talk about right now. And that, let me pull it up because I did not prepare for that. There it is. I kind of prepared. I thought about it.
That's so preparation.
It is. It's a start, for heaven's sakes. Okay, let me get to the Groom Pod page. And it was just posted this morning. And it was posted by Caitlin. Question for you guys. How do you deal with giving clients quotes, especially via a phone conversation? I work as a corporate groomer, so our prices are set by breed, but we do offer add-on services and packages. And as of late, I've been trying to work on how to word things better when I have a conversation with a client and they ask what the pricing difference is. I typically quote a $20 range, say $44 to $64. Any ideas on how I can improve this and make it a more productive conversation for my clients and myself? Thanks in advance. So she's constrained by the breed type pricing at the corporate salon, but she does have the option to talk people into some of the add-ons. So how is the best way to have that conversation?
The conversation that's most important is the conversation you have with yourself.
And there's the therapist talking right there.
And, you know, it's our attitude towards our own personal attitude towards add-ons that constrains us, that holds us back. You got to love your add-ons. You know, they're there for you to share and give your clients the opportunity to add on.
Right.
The opportunity. You need to see it as an opportunity, as a good thing. Let me tell you about an opportunity we have here to add on, you know. You need to focus on the value to the client, you know. Also, you might want to look at our spa package. Also, you might want to look at our de-shedding package, whatever it is. Also, you might want to look at our added service of da-da-da. You know,
I always choke on that stuff. I'm the go in with a negative conversation in my head person as far as add-ons. I don't do them per se. I kind of just am a one price fits the groom. And then if I know that dog's going to require de-shedding, then I'll add it in. Just
you're not in a structured situation where you have to deal with the add-ons. So you know, you don't like them, so you haven't included them in your repertoire, you know.
Thank goodness.
I know. You know,
I'd be stressing about that. God. Whoa. No, in this girl's case, her commission probably depends on being able to add on extra services.
That's right. So you just need to plunge into it. And and like I say, you need to love your add-ons. They're there. They're there for you to utilize. And if you approach selling as a game and not a bad thing, you know, you just need to step aside from your conversation. You know, like I had a hard time getting into sales myself because I felt I was being pushy. And I don't like to perceive myself. I don't like to push. And I don't like to be pushed. You know, I do like knowing what's available and knowing how this might help my dog or how this might help me with my dog. Or here's a new thing that we have. And I just learned to shut up my inner voice because I would say, you don't want this, do you? You know,
yeah, that's me. You don't really want me to brush your dog's teeth.
You don't want this, do you? So, you know, so you just got to, and it does not hurt to write yourself a little script and memorize it and draw on that when you draw a blank. You know, it's like the seven steps of handling a customer complaint. If you have those seven steps in front of you and you go through those seven steps, you're more likely to have a good resolution.
But those little claps were Barbara emphasizing her statements with her hands because I can't cut those out. So I just thought I'd explain those.
Sorry.
That's all right.
I'm very emphatic with my hands. What can I say?
You guys could only see.
So,
well, that's cool. That's a great way to order. I'm a big fan of the open-ended end of the conversation. You know, for instance, if I go into a new client and I'm guessing it's a golden retriever, I'm going to say my price starts at $100, but I can give you a better guess when I see the dog in person. So that, you know, that's my fallback.
You and I can do that. She can't do that.
I know.
So I know it. You know, like, there's nothing more miserable than hating the structure that you're in. You either embrace it or get out of there. You know?
I like to make it a game thing. I think that sounds like a fun way to go.
Making it a game, and you know, the reason that salesmen set sales goals is because it works. You know, so if you know what you've got going for the day, and you say, "I'm going to sell Mrs. A this, I'm going to sell Mrs. B that, I'm going to sell Mr. C something else, this would be perfect for dog D," you know, you kind of look ahead of it, and then see how many out of five, how many can you get, you know?
I bet that's gratifying.
So you set it up as a game with yourself, you know. And the other thing that you can do is go shopping.
Go shopping?
Go shopping.
Well, I like the sound of that.
And then notice how salespeople are approaching their job to you.
Oh, research shopping. I like that even better.
Yeah, you know, this is a mission. You're going to go shopping so that you can observe other people's selling skills at work. And you can, you know, like, I know that I can go, there's another clap, sorry. I know that I can go to Chico's, and there's a woman at Chico's. She just puts me in a dressing room and then starts bringing me stuff. Boy, I buy a lot of stuff there because she'll say, "Oh, and this goes perfect with that," you know, and she'll have me buying a watch and shoes and, you know, a belt and she'll just fix me up and I just like prance out of there $500 short. Observe salespeople in their own element. Observe what you think it works. Observe what works and what doesn't work with you. And then try to bring that to your selling. It's a skill set. It's specific. And if you get a better sales skill set, it's much easier to do it yourself. So have fun with it. Go to an upscale place. Go to a cheap place. You'll see a whole lot of difference in the selling. You know, like the dollar store, you've got to find it all yourself.
Very true.
You know?
But okay, I'm going to put you on the spot, Barbara.
What?
Sell the webinar.
Well, hey, I am so excited about our forthcoming webinar because it's the second phase. You know, Beyond Suds and Scent has become such a large subject area, way larger than when I wrote the book. Because I wrote the book Beyond Suds and Scent in 06, and I have been learning more and learning more and learning more. And now I'm to the point where I have to divide the subject matter into shampoos and conditioners because I just can't fit both of them into a 1-2 hour. I mean, it would take me all day to cover both of them. So we've got Part 2 conditioners coming up on August the 6th, our usual time, 11 a.m. West time, Pacific Coast time, and Arizona time, because we don't go on daylight saving time.
Enough of that. We ought to just throw that out the window like you guys.
I hate daylight savings time because you can't ever, I mean, in the desert, it doesn't cool off until the sun goes down. You don't want another hour of 102.
I never thought of it that way.
Blazing degrees. Get out of here. You know, and you couldn't go to the drive-in movie. You know, I come from the drive-in movie days. It was a family event. It was the only form of dating I ever knew. Right. You know, like I learned everything I know about sex in a car.
Those were the days. Now it's the internet. So if you guys want to register, go to www.shop.bieber.biz and the link will be on there. And there's a few of you guys out there who have gotten the direct email link and you still need to actually officially sign up, and Barbara's going to send you guys an email about that, right?
Well, you need to pay. See, okay. You got to pay. Newsflash! It costs $39.95. Even if you register by the direct register that comes with the invitation that everybody that's done a webinar with me before gets, even if you go to that and you register, if you don't pay, you don't play.
Cool. So that again, August 6th, 11 a.m. Pacific time, $39.95, www.shop.bieber.biz. Let's take a break and we'll be right back with our first appointment, which is hearing damage. You know, groomers, your salon runs on shampoo and conditioner, and what you choose to bathe with can make or break the quality of your work, productivity, your health, and even your career. Sure, there's a ton of shampoo lines to choose from, but if you haven't tried Best Shot's innovative systems, you may be working too hard. You owe it to yourself to check out bestshotpet.com. Discover firsthand why so many groomers rely on their trusted mastery of coat care chemistry. That's bestshotpet.com. Learn more about using their three-step system and how Best Shot mindfully formulates using advanced grooming technologies, combining the very best nature and science has to offer. Whether it's their three-step system, the one-shot odor annihilator, Ultramax Proline, MED skin treatments, or the amazingly aromatic and fun Sentiment Spa Collection, Best Shot has something tailored just for groomers that really works. For over 25 years, Best Shot has lived up to its claim to get dirty jobs done right, so you can start making masterpieces out of nightmares in record time. What are you waiting for? Contact your favorite distributor or catalog and get some Best Shot today. I love them. Let's see what's happening at the grooming table. We work in a really noisy environment, don't we?
Oh, boy.
It's bad, bad. Yeah. And anybody, I'd say, who's over 50 and was grooming for the career of their life is going to have some hearing damage. You can see it all around the grooming trade show floor. People who can't hear. What?
Oh, yeah. And speaking of a noisy environment, trade shows are pretty bad.
It's bad. And then there's a whole bunch of us who like to stand in front of big speakers in our youth. And we've done a little damage to our hearing. Now, you've got both. You stood in front of big speakers and you've had grooming for a career.
Well, you know, I played percussion. And so they always had to find some little place for me. I was just kind of an add-on, you know. I was just kind of a fluff, and they were and they would always put me in front of the guitar speaker, and and I didn't have the good sense to wear earplugs.
Well, none of us did,
but nowadays musicians are taking care of it. Now we know from, you know, that these high decibel rock concerts and whatever are just so damaging.
Yes, and so is grooming. Grooming is damaging to our ears. So the hearing specialists talk about people who, like, you know, who get used to it, but you can't get used to it. So there's three things that are basic and definite about hearing loss, right, Barbara?
It's gradual. It's cumulative.
Yep.
And it's irreversible.
Can't go backwards. When it happens, it happens.
You can't rest your ears and regain what you've lost, because it's actual physical damage in the inner ear.
Right, it's deterioration. It's deterioration of the hairs in the inner ear, or the
cochlea.
Thank
you. Cochlea.
I was going to try and say that, but
I said it for you.
Yes. So they are like the nerves that send the auditory signals to the brain, and when they get damaged, they don't regrow.
They can recover from infrequent, brief exposures to noise, but you know, a rock concert is not a brief exposure, and a day in the grooming salon is not a brief exposure. You know, a brief exposure is less than 15 minutes. You can walk by what are those things that they use to break up concrete? Those
jackhammer.
Jackhammer. There's a loud noise. You can walk by a jackhammer and it's not going to hurt you. But if you're the jackhammer operator, you can be sure that they're required to wear earplugs.
And we've got all kinds of stuff in our environment that we are exposed to for hours and hours and hours during the day that causes damage.
Yeah, so it's the total time per day that you are exposed to that counts. So OSHA has set an exposure limit that you can be exposed to 85 decibels for 8 hours, 88 decibels, which is only 3 decibels higher, for 4 hours.
Well, that's pretty extreme difference there.
Oh, yeah. It 91 decibels. And it's real easy to get to 91 decibels with the K9 2 dryer, for example. 2 hours.
Right.
100 decibels. 100 decibels. 15 minutes total for the 8-hour day.
And we are exposed to way more than that, just on average.
I bought a decibel meter. I bought a noise level recording meter, and I recorded in here in the home office with no appliances going 36 to 41 decibels. Well, today I measured today and I came up with 80 something. That's the cooler going. Now, I measured in the grooming shop with my swamp cooler only, it was 60 to 62 decibels. In the summertime with the swamp cooler, fans, and the Sahara Turbo, it was up to 71 decibels. And in the winter with the Laube Magnum Force Dryer, the Sahara Turbo, and a whining Tibetan Terrier, it was up to 81.3. Now, the high-velocity force dryers create the most noise, and the K9 2 with a small nozzle, the nozzle that we use the most to blow out hair, it reached 101. Into decibels. So what did we just say? We just said that the safety level of 100 decibels was 15 minutes total for the day. So we're over. We're over, people.
Way over.
Way over. And that's when it's on two motors. Now, a flat nozzle brings it down some.
Yeah, but that's only if you're not aiming it at the dog. If you're actually aiming it at the dog, it's deflected.
That's right. Deflected noise increases the level. It bounces off. You know where it bounces off to is the grooming arm.
Oh,
so
yes.
You probably noticed that there's a pitch difference when you hit that metal bar.
It sure
the grooming
is.
Arm. You know. So I measured air from the small nozzle on the Laube Magnum Force Dryer, and that's a little drier. It was 94 to 95 decibels. When deflected on a dog, the noise was 97 to 99 decibels. And deflected across my own hand, it reached 100 decibels.
That's substantial difference from where it is without any deflection.
And when I waved it across a grooming post, the same nozzle can create as much as 105 decibels. Now, you're not going to get an extended exposure of 105 decibels, but as you're, you know, so if you're, the moral of that story is be very mindful of where you're waving that wand, you know, where you're waving that nozzle, because I've seen bathers be just like totally spaced out, literally. So narrow, the more narrow the object, such as the grooming post or a dog leg, create louder noise than wide objects like the dog's body.
And then drying a dog in a stainless steel tub and then going across their body and deflecting it. Man, it doesn't get worse than that with a cone nozzle on it. Throw the cone nozzle in a stainless steel tub with a big dog leg and you are up there in the one, probably 15s. And we 15 minutes, that's not even one dog's worth of drying. And we're doing sometimes, you know, 5 to 8 to 10 dogs a day. That's a lot of time exposure to that noise.
So I also measured a barking Bichon.
Curious about that.
102 decibels.
Yikes.
Yikes is right. So no wonder I'm going to measure these Maltese when they bark. I bet it's like that. I've got 4 barking dogs now. I have created the Bee Bird Canine Circus.
Yes, I think you should invest in a lot of citronella bark collars so you can have some peace. Yes.
Well, I may just do that. So,
so what about the clipper vac or the shop vacs? Those make a bunch of make a bunch of noise too.
I didn't. The IVAC on the handy canister was 70. That's very safe. Anything under 85 is considered safe. The shop vac was 84.
Except if you put that shop thing back next to the floor and it's got a nozzle on it, the noise of the sucking air is almost as loud as the noise of the blowing air when it's deflected.
Well, look at this. I measured. You were a part of this study.
I sure was.
Because I sent you the dB meter. The shop vac in my shop registered at 84. The shop vac in your mobile was 100.
Yeah,
so crazy. You know, the small space and smooth walls in a mobile, noise is just bouncing back and forth between those malls. There's a lot of deflected noise increase in a mobile in a small place, you know. So I have fatigue matting helps reduce noise. Fabric helps to reduce noise.
Really, the key, though, is hearing protection.
Well, the moral of the story is that there is significant noise hazard in our occupation that all groomers should wear hearing protection.
I used to hate it. I used to hate wearing hearing protection. Now, I put it on at the beginning of the groom, and I leave it on the entire groom. I never take it off. I used to take it on and off all the time. Now, my Bluetooth headphones work so well that I can listen to my podcasts and be nicely enclosed in my own little environment in my head without having to listen to all those outside noises.
That's great. So what kind of headphones do you have?
I have hearing protection size headphones, so gun muffler sized headphones. They're big, but they are really, really good protection. And they're called Work Tunes by Ion, I-O-N, and I'll put up a link. Actually, I'm going to try to mess around with the website and put a direct link to that particular item up on our website so that you guys can all shop through our Amazon banner, or at least through our Amazon click-through, and then we can get credit for it. But it's a really nice set of headphones. I'm on my third pair because they are not the most durable things. So if they fly off of your, say, grooming table because you forget to put them away when you're driving and they hit the ground, they can break. But they are dependable, comfortable, even though you do get a little sweaty sometimes, hearing protection, and they have a Bluetooth capability so you can answer your phone and you can hear your podcast. So that's what I use.
They fuck up your hairstyle.
Oh, yeah, I never have to worry about that.
See, you're one that doesn't care about that. Some of us care about that.
True.
So I shop at I use earplugs, and I shop at the Earplug Superstore. It's www.earplugstore.com. And what they have that's really good is that if you don't know what kind of earplugs work for you, because everybody's different. Everybody's got a different size ear and different kinds of needs. But you can buy an assortment pack from this place that's really way cheaper than the individual pairs of earplugs. And you can try out a lot of different kinds until you find what works for you.
Oh, that's the coolest thing I've ever seen.
Isn't that a cool site?
Yes.
And, and there's a lot of information there.
Different types of earplugs, because I have tiny, teeny ear canals.
And they even have a moldable earplugs where you make your own custom silicone earplugs. You pat them in your ears and it molds inside there, and you leave it in for 10 minutes and it solidifies and becomes your permanent earplug. You can do that. I've never done that. They have earplug accessories and cases. They have just a lot of choices. You can get in your pack, they'll give you the kind that are got a lanyard on them, a cord.
Yeah.
So I use those kind at my grooming table. Sometimes I want to shut out what's going on in the back room, which is Yvonne drying or Yvonne cajoling a difficult client. And so sometimes it's very calming for me hearing her. She talks to the dogs all the time. She does. But sometimes I just don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear that today. So then I stick in my earplugs. And
they even have a pack for the smallest earplugs.
Yeah.
They have a trial pack for the smallest ones.
You can get smallest only, or you can get largest only. You can get the no-roll foam plugs that have a little stem, and you just push them in there. They've got everything. They've got, except they don't have your headset.
Yes, but I'm doing this right now.
And they have horse earplugs.
Horse earplugs?
Yeah, look at this. Often requested. We finally have horse earplugs available. Those great earplugs are designed exclusively for our equine companions to help keep distracting or disturbing noises from causing them to shy or lose focus, especially during competitions.
That's pretty neat.
So you know what? I bet if enough of us requested dog earplugs.
Yes. Well, their ear canals are so different, though.
So different. So somebody, I don't know who suggested this, but it was a good idea. So somebody said, use cotton inside the happy hoodies. Cotton in the dog's ears itself only reduces the decibel level by about 4.
Right.
So it's really not that effective. But somebody else suggested using the makeup wedges cut. You can cut them into smaller or larger pieces, and that's foam that's going to block more sound. So you can use the makeup, and you can get a bag of those and toss them when you're done with a single dog. You don't have to use it for the next dog.
Right.
So that's a way for a really noise-shy dog to give it some extra protection in addition to the happy hoodie.
Cool. I like it. I always forget the cotton in the ears. I forget it.
Oh, I know. And then
I'm very bad.
They come back a month later with this dirty, filthy cotton. And I don't know, but he didn't seem to mind me very well this month.
Like he was ignoring me.
Been giving me this blank stare.
Oh God, that's funny.
I know. I did that too. And the dirty little bows. Dirty little bows and cotton in the ear.
I got some bad bows back recently. They were like just barely hanging
on there.
Yep. So now they have really crazy cutout spots in the dog's head, but whatever. They wanted them. All right. So in conclusion, people, wear some kind of hearing protection, please.
Just get used to it.
Yep.
We want you to get used to the earplugs, the protection, rather than get used to the noise. Because if you're getting used to the noise, there's already damage. And it's irreversible. Every day adds a little bit more. And I have serious, serious, serious hearing loss. And, in the next 2 years, I'm going to have help, a hearing aid.
Yeah, I'm going to try to avoid that, but I'm probably headed that direction about at your age, too. That's just the way it is. I think it's even more important to remember that the dogs are so sensitive. Their hearing is so much more sensitive than ours. So I'm a big proponent of happy hoodies because it keeps the air out of the ear canal and it protects them a little bit more. And even though they're not having the exposure that we are having, they're still exposed to it for a little while. And it's like aversion therapy. They don't want to be groomed if their ears are constantly being blown every which way with noise. And yeah.
So before we quit, we will post the link to the Groom Blog article that we used as our information today that I wrote back in 2007. I love it that some of my articles have legs like this, that it's still pertinent information. Oh, and here's the other thing that I really, really wanted to get in. Oh, I'm so glad I didn't let you stop me.
Oh, good.
I just downloaded and a DB app on my phone, and it's just called DB. It was not the first one. I scrolled down the choices a little bit, but this app, it has DB in a circle, and it was for free. Sound Meter. I looked up Sound Meter, and it gives you a speedometer type reading of your DB, and it's got green, yellow, and red, anything over 85. But the cool thing is that you can take a screenshot of your reading, and it's an instant record of that. So what I want to challenge all of us to download a free DB thing, and especially if you can find this one that does the screenshot, and post to the discussion group Facebook page what the sound level is in your grooming salon under different conditions.
That'll be fun. A challenge.
It's a challenge. I challenge you to measure and share what the noise levels are at your place of work. Under different circumstances,
yeah.
How about
I'm gonna do it?
Are you up for it? I'm gonna do some more measuring because now that I have that, because I'm not too sure where I put away the the original meter, but this is so handy that it's just like right on your phone. It uses your phone's microphone and then your phone's camera, and you just have, and you save it to your photos, and you can just share it on the way, on the Facebook page.
Well, I'm just going to have to see how loud Huckleberry is, because I bet he rates up there with some of his bird noises.
Oh, I'm going to measure my dog bone for sure. What fun.
It's fun.
So have fun with it. Download a free app and have fun measuring some noise and kind of educate yourself about what your environment represents, okay?
Science is fun, and we'll talk about it next week on the Groom Pod, too. That'll be fun. We'll talk about our findings, our scientific findings. Okay, let's take a moment, hear from South Park, and then we'll be back with our definition du jour. Groomers, we all know that the first thing doggy moms and dads do when they pick up their beautifully coiffed babies from us is they go in for a cuddle, right? That first cuddle is so important because it gives them the opportunity to really enjoy their freshly groomed and sweet-smelling pups. Well, our friends over at South Bark Professional Pet Products have a new item that's sure to bring a smile to all of those pet parents and groomers, too. South Bark, as you know, is the originator of the now famous South Bark's Blueberry Facial. They are located in sunny San Diego, California, where founders Lisa Vella and Donna Walker, also known as the Blueberry Girls, operate a dog wash and consumer pet store, as well as a wholesale distribution center. These amazing ladies have come up with an entirely new product that really has us here at the Groom Pod excited. It's a foaming cleanser with a fabulous new fragrance. It smells like blueberries and coconut, two of my personal favorite smells. I can't wait to try it. It's good for slobber mouth, goober eyes, and strategic stinkiness. The real neat thing is that you don't have to rinse it out. And to top it off, it's a foam, so it's extra safe for using around the eyes. You know how much Barbara and I love foam for faces. South Bark's Blueberry Coconut Pet Foam comes in a generous 8.5-ounce foamer and is safe for use on dogs, cats, puppies, and kittens. This is sure to be a favorite in shops as a retail item or in the bathing room for pre-washing faces and loosening those eye boogies. If you would like more information or to place an order, you can go to the website www.southbarkprofessionalpet.com or you can call them at 1-877-232-2235. And remember to look for the Blueberry Girls and their products at many of our grooming trade shows and seminars.
Definition du jour.
Definition du jour time. All about citronella. I'm allergic to citronella. It's one of those things that gives me an asthma attack.
Oh dear, that's unfortunate.
It is, because it's a great mosquito repellent.
It is a great mosquito repellent, and it's in a lot of things, and it's also a fragrance component. So are you not allergic to, are you not allergic to D-limonene?
I don't appear to be, but the exposure is shorter.
Right.
And it seems to be exclusively respiratory. It triggers an asthma attack, but it doesn't make me itch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's unusual. So citronella is very widely accepted with few of these kinds of reactions. And that's why it's commercially viable, because it really has a very, very low rate of sensitivity responses or problems. Did you know that there's two forms of citronella oil?
Nope, didn't know that.
Yeah, so you might want to find out if you're allergic to both forms or to just one. So just to avoid the whole technical stuff, Cylon citronella is from the Simpobagon nardus plant.
Okay.
And Java type is from the Simpobagon winteraneous plant.
So just different plants, different forms of the plant?
Yeah, so the Java type is considered the better one. It's considered a little more effective, and it seems to have the more pleasant fragrance. I'm not crazy about it. I don't really like the fragrance of citronella. I kind of hate it.
So, yeah, me too.
But what's going on here today is we're in the monsoon season in Tucson. So the rain is here, the heat is here, and the mosquitoes are here. And I don't have screens in my home. And back in this office, it gets loaded with mosquitoes. So this morning, the mosquitoes were like really plentiful in my office. But I got 3 diffusers going of citronella and something else. So what I do is I add something to make the fragrance more pleasant. What I added today was ginger grass. It's another grass. It's a really light, pleasant. I love it by itself. It's a nice fragrance, and it reduces the whatever it is I don't like about the smell of the citronella oil. And I've got 3 diffusers going in this room. I left the room and went and fed the dogs, came back, and there's mosquitoes are just coming and leaving right away. It's really effective. It just cleared out the room of mosquitoes. I'm not getting bit. The citronella really works on mosquitoes. And if you want to diffuse it, you can add ginger grass, you can add another one, geranium. You can add geranium oil. And so geranium oil has some of the same insect repellent properties that citronella has, but it has a more floral fragrance, and so it makes it significantly different. And you can try mixing it with other things, but the Java type is not as pungent, I would say, it's a softer fragrance than the citronella, the other kind of citronella, the Sloan citronella. So one of the things that I found out is that it's also has a good stress reduction value and action. And it's also antibacterial and antifungal. So it's good for the skin. And here's something. 2 of the sources that I read said that it's been shown in a study to help calm barking dogs.
Really?
Well, really? Do I have a test for that?
Well, that's interesting because they have not barked once.
Well, that's because the Maltese.
Oh, you separated them.
The Maltese are all we have here. I don't even know where Belle is. All we have here is little Callie.
Yeah, she walked behind you a minute ago.
Oh, okay. So Belle's not too much of a barker, although I'll tell you, she's becoming more barky. She's kind of, you know, like ever since I had her teeth done, she's kind of got her youth back. And so she's exploring other facets of her personality, including her barking facet.
So how fun for you.
Oh, how fun for me, you know. And Callie is a little girl, but she's got like a medium dog. She's got a bigger dog bark. It's not a little dog bark.
You could start your own dog quartet.
So I'm going to give the citronella a really good test. The main other use of citronella is as a relaxant and a stress reducer. It's got other stuff, but it requires you to take it orally, and I don't really like to go there.
Right.
But what I noticed in here is that it was very effective at repelling the mosquitoes, but the flies didn't seem, the flies a few minutes ago, they were like dive bombing me. So I would say it's less effective for a fly control. Some people actually like the smell of citronella, and it's supposed to fight respiratory infection. So contrary to your experience, well, and we also know that citronella is used in some anti-bark collars because dogs don't really like the smell of it. Maybe that's why Belle isn't here under my feet like she usually is, come to think right. of it. So, you know, they say here if you spray a citronella mixture on your furniture, it will keep the pets off.
It will keep me off. So do they put it in shampoo?
Since you mentioned it, use number 11, natural shampoo and conditioner.
Huh.
One of the most popular uses for citronella oil is cleansing and conditioning the hair and scalp. It can eliminate excess oil and greasiness of hair while also fighting dandruff and adding shine. Many people find it adds volume to hair, detangles knots, and helps protect the hair from sun damage.
Well, that pretty much covers everything.
That's quite a list. Quite a claim. And that's, you know, like, and that's number 11.
Huh.
It's a natural skincare remedy. Citronella has been shown to help heal dermatitis, naturally treat eczema, slow skin aging, so getting rid of warts, healing age spots. Well, maybe I ought to try some on my hands. My hands are like freckled with freaking age spots. Can be used as a natural cleaner, kitchen cleaner. It's a muscle relaxant. Oh, it can help dealing with PMS cramps.
Oh, my. Woman's time.
Yeah, mixed with a carrier oil into sore muscles or onto the abdomen when dealing with PMS cramps. Natural perfume or room spray, not for me.
Me either.
Although this combination that I'm living with in here today is not bad. It's really nice.
Do cats have an issue with this stuff?
Cats have an issue with everything.
True.
I would not use this around cats.
Okay.
That's good enough.
Good enough. All right.
Look out. Here it comes. It's your mobile moment.
On to our mobile moment, which is me talking about generators, because last week we talked about shore power cords, and there is always an ongoing discussion about generators because really as a mobile groomer, they're an essential part of our lives, either a generator or an inverter, and most of us do have generators. And I wanted to talk for a moment about generator maintenance. Part of what makes a generator die is lack of maintenance. And one of the things that you cannot predict is how the guy before you did the maintenance on the used grooming van's generator that you inherit. And that's why there are so many problems with generators when you buy a used van. So in my case, I'm pulling a trailer and my generator is sitting just in the back of my Ford Explorer on a big piece of plywood, and the exhaust points out the door, and I just open the back door, and my generator has circulating air, and it's easy to access for all of the maintenance. For you guys who have the wagon tails vans, the generator is underneath the chassis of your vehicle.
Out of sight.
Which, as you can see, for most of us women, doing an oil change is hard enough to do yourself. But to then put your generator underneath your vehicle to do an oil change, you just can't do it. You have to go to a shop to do your oil changes. And that is a pain in the patootie, in my opinion. The person who's responsible for that is you. You are the person responsible for the maintenance of your generator. You can't pawn it off on somebody else. You need to keep good records, because if you don't, you're going to be frustrated to no end with the fact that your generator does not run or is inconsistent or pops the circuits. Because the location of the generator is such an essential thing, you guys are battling a difficult situation with the Wagon Tails vans and the generators underneath. Now, for years, they put the generators in the back, but they moved them for some reason, probably for space, and they make it very difficult to do your own maintenance on, although you can do it. There's a couple things that are important to maintain. The oil change is one. It's a big one. And it's not a difficult thing, but it should be done every 150 to 200 hours. Now, in a non-commercial generator, give me the citronella.
Yeah, hey,
Ziggy, hey.
Don't believe it that there's barking on your end. That's my game.
It's very unusual, but apparently someone just pulled up. Where was I? Oh, yeah. So changing the oil. So if you do the math in a non-commercial generator, like one that you would pick up at, say, Harbor Freight or Home Depot or something, they recommend doing an oil change every 50 to 60 hours. If you're using your generator consistently, that's an oil change a week. That's crazy.
Wow.
Right? Who's going to do that? And yet, that's what the manufacturer recommends to keep that motor running. So you can imagine the person before you not wanting to even do it once a year, much less every week. So that's why buying a commercial generator or one that's built with a little more heavy duty purpose is better. So the Onan generators that they install on the Wagon Tails vans and the Honda generators, the Yamaha generators, the Briggs and Strattons, these are all built for a longer life and more consistent use. So I don't track my engine hours. I change my oil 4 times a year. Minimum. Sometimes I do it a little bit more than that. It's easier for me to keep track that way. But even so, all I have to do is pop the hatchback on my Explorer, pump the oil out, and put in new oil. For you guys with Wagon Tails, it's not likely the person before you did the maintenance. It's just a fact. So if you need to start doing that maintenance. And if you have to pull into a shop and have them do your oil changes, just put it on your calendar, on your schedule. Schedule it like a dog grooming. Schedule your oil changes because the life of your generator, which is the plant power plant to your grooming, depends on it. The other thing is, these combustion engine motors need to have airflow for them to be cooled. And if your engine gets hot, it wears out faster. So you need to have airflow. You need to make sure that your air filter is changed. Also very difficult to access underneath your vehicle. So for me, I just unscrew 2 screws. I pop in a new air filter. I close it up. I do it every other month because there's so much dust and dirt out there. And especially when your generator is underneath your vehicle, it's at road level. It's just sucking up grime and dust and grit, and it's going to plug that air filter. If that engine can't get air, it's going to kill it faster. So change your air filter, change your oil. The other thing is change your spark plug once a year at least, and inspect your spark plug. Your spark plug will give you all kinds of information about how your engine is running. These things are important. They are the lifeblood of your grooming business if you're mobile, and you guys need to be on top of this stuff. Don't complain about your generator if you're not doing your generator maintenance, because it's your responsibility. All right, there you go.
Boy, she could get rough. Susie, generator police.
And Barbara, I think that is going to wrap it up for the show this week.
All right, so while you were gone, I called you the generator police. You got pretty serious there. Well,
I am watching thread after thread after thread on Facebook about people who have their generators malfunction, but it's just a fact of where they are. They're such a stupid, stupid, stupid place to put a generator, and then to have us, being a bunch mostly of women, to be responsible for that maintenance when we can't even access that stuff, when the majority of us barely change the clipper drives on our clippers. You know, you've got to learn. You got to be not afraid. So this week, my generator circuit breaker went out, and I was able to go in there, and because I can get to my generator, change the circuit breaker out. And yesterday I tested it and I fixed it. It worked. I was so happy, and I did it myself. And there's such a sense of accomplishment with that. And but my generator is only $400. So it's not that big a deal. These big generators underneath big vans, you know, they're $5,000.
No kidding.
Yeah. Who wants to deal with that? Plus, The other thing is they got to take your vehicle out of service to get to them because they have to drop them out from underneath your van. So you can't groom when they're fixing your generator. You can't groom. That's why shore power cords are so important. All right, off my soapbox.
Okay, I love it. I love it when you get on your soapbox.
Okay, you guys, remember to sign up for the webinar, which is August 6th, 11 a.m. Pacific Daylight Time. There we go. I knew it. And Barbara, have a great week. You guys, happy grooming. We'll see you here next week on the Groove Pod. Thanks for listening.
Have some fun this week, you guys. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, stylists, it's time to sweep up the hair, clean out the tub, and turn out the lights on another episode of the Groom Pod. Remember to join the discussion group and be part of the show by liking us on Facebook at The Groom Pod. You can find Barbara online at groomblog.blogspot.com and at her shopping site, www.shop.bbird.biz. You can email me at Susie@thegroompod.com or Barbara@thegroompod.com. Please tell all your friends about the show and leave comments and reviews anywhere that you can. And also, please support the sponsors of the show. They make it possible for us to continue on. So on behalf of Barbara Bird and myself, thanks for listening and see you real soon.